May the words of my lips, the meditation of all our hearts, be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I'm taking the story from the first reading, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 3. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" This I find one of the most moving, perhaps one of the most inspiring stories in the Old Testament. It's read as part of the cycle of readings for the Easter season, to which it properly belongs, because it is a tale of victory. It's a tale of victory, of hope over despair, a tale of victory, of life over death, a story about revival and resurrection. And it dates from a long time ago, from about 600 BC, and it relates to the situation of the people of Israel at that time, but also it can be applied to many other periods of history, of not just of the ancient people of Israel, but of the Church of Christ ever since. And it is indeed a story of hope, a story of life for us all. The prophet Ezekiel was given this vision of the valley of dry bones. It was, I suppose, probably the site of a battle, a defeat for the people of Israel. And it must have been a really crushing defeat, because the dead were left unburied. And there was this valley full of the bones of the army that had been defeated, and their bones had not been properly buried as they should have been. And there they lay. And Ezekiel, in his vision, heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Can these bones live?" And the obvious answer, of course, was no. I mean, how could these bones live that had dried up, that had been scattered, that had been abandoned? But Ezekiel was cautious. Ezekiel said, "Sovereign Lord, you only know." Ezekiel was told to speak the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord was a word of great power. And what happened when he spoke was there was this rattling sound that came, and that was the bones sorting themselves out, coming into their proper relationship with one another. As you know, the thigh bones connected to the knee bones connected to the leg bones, and so on and so on. So that was what happened. But then they were just a skeleton, and they can't do much with just the skeleton. And of course the skin then had to grow back on, and there was flesh and muscle on the bodies, but they weren't alive. There they were still dead bodies lying on the floor of this valley. And then the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and he was told to prophesy to the winds, to the four winds, north, south, east, and west, and they were to blow into these dead bodies and bring them back to life. And they all stood up, and it was the army of the Lord, full of life and strength. Now, when Ezekiel told this story, recounted this vision to the people of Israel, they were actually in exile in the city of Babylon, because they had suffered defeat, and the leaders of the country, those who had not been killed in the battle, were taken into a kind of slavery in the city of Babylon. Their capital city, Jerusalem, which had been the center of the empire of David and Solomon, that had been razed to the ground. The temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, which was the one place where the glory of the Lord abided, that also had been destroyed. And the land which had been promised to them, but to their ancestors by God, had been taken from them and given to strangers. Their hope was gone. How could they sing the song of the Lord in a strange land. And they must have wondered, Ezekiel himself must have wondered, why it was that God had done this to them. And if you read more of the book of Ezekiel, it's clear what his answer would have been. They had been disloyal. They had been disloyal, they'd been disobedient. They had been like a wife who had left her husband. They were lost. And God was using the people, the army of Babylon, as an agent of his wrath. Now, they had a long period of exile, so long that actually a new generation had been born while they were still in exile. And it was after 70 years that at last the empire of Babylon was overcome by the Persians, and the people of Israel were able to return to their own country. And they were able to restore, to rebuild the walls of their city and to rebuild the temple of the Lord. So Israel was, if you like, revived, restored, resurrected, come back to life as Ezekiel had been told in his vision. The experience of exile and of return actually changed the nature of Israel's religion. They were no longer thinking in terms of a national God serving their nation alone, that they had the ambition to have an empire like the empire of David and Solomon. Their whole attitude to their religion changed because instead of seeking political power, they saw themselves as the servants of the one true God, that the God they worshipped, the God their ancestors had worshipped, was the only God there was, and he was the one who determined what happened throughout the world, how one empire rose, another fell, and he was the God of the destinies of the worldly powers. And so the God that they worshipped was the God of the whole world. And what this was doing, I guess, in the overall plan of God for our redemption, was it was preparing the community into which Jesus was born. It was a community of a kind that had never existed quite in that way in the world before. And this was the result in the long term, after hundreds of years, of what happened in the exile and return from Babylon. Well, we've been looking at the words of Ezekiel in their original context, but as I say, they are now part of Holy Scripture, and as part of Holy Scripture, we can apply them to the other more recent periods of history, indeed to our own times now. So it was a message to the people of God at all times and in all places. It was a message to be heard in hard times, a time when faith is weak, when God seems far away. At times, indeed, we might feel that the church itself has been like a valley of dry bones. The Christians must have been times through our long history when Christians have been tempted to ask, can these bones live? Consider for a moment the situation in the Dark Ages. The patron of our local secondary school is St. Bede, and Bede wrote a history about the people of this country, and he reflected on what was happening to Christianity in his own time. In his own time, the armies of Islam, the Arabian armies, had overrun about half of the Christian world. Jerusalem had fallen, North Africa had fallen, Egypt, Syria, it had all been overrun and lost to, in large part at least, lost to Christianity. And more directly for Bede, the whole of the northern part of Europe, including this country, was being devastated by the incursions of the Vikings, who were particularly targeting Christian monasteries, Christian people carrying away people into slavery. So it was probably the lowest point in the history of Christendom. He wondered whether God had deserted his people. Was Christianity about to be uprooted and destroyed? Well, of course, as we know, things turned out better than that, over a long period of time, the armies of Islam were driven back from southern France and from Spain, and that the Norsemen were actually converted. This was what came out of the renewed vigor of the church in Northern Europe, and particularly in this country, that there was a missionary activity towards to convert to Christianity the very people who had been so destructive. And so the story of the Christian church is one of darkness and light, of destruction and rebuilding, and God has been with us on every step in the journey. But then let's reflect for a moment on the situation of the church today. Very different, of course, from the days of the early Middle Ages that I've been talking about. It's a world in which, at large, Christianity is actually flourishing as never before. There are, I believe, more than 2 billion people who call themselves Christians, and that's about a third of the world's population. So we rejoice at the strength and growth that is being seen, particularly perhaps in parts of Africa, and also, we understand, in China. But the situation nearer home is not so reassuring. I guess we're all aware that the numbers attending church services in this country show a persistent decline. We may not be so aware of that in St. Margaret's because the numbers here are holding up very well, but it is a fact that we cannot ignore. We now belong to a rather small minority, and Christianity has lost much of the influence that it once had on the society at large. And that may be a matter of concern. And we may ask, why is this happening? And we might look for a sociological explanation, but that's not what I have in mind, really. It's we need to ask how this may fit into God's plan in the same way as the prophets of the Old Testament tried to work out or to listen to the word of God to tell them why things were happening the way in which they were. And it's possible that a decline in the purely nominal Christianity that was actually prevalent in earlier centuries, that the decline in this nominal Christianity is preparing the ground for a revival of a deeper faith. Are we in a situation like that of ancient Israel in exile, when a loss of political power is actually strengthening our relationships of faith and may be necessary before we can find our true role in God's plans for the future? So we might ask, can these bones live? Can the declining trends be reversed? And we say, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. But we need to hear God's message in the valley of dry bones. These scattered bones are the fragments of the church community, and they must be brought together, joined together as members of one body. If we unite more, we can achieve so much more, and that is surely God's will for us. But most of all, we need the breath of life. We need the breath of life to be blown into us. Ezekiel was told that the wind is the spirit of God, and we need God to put his spirit in us so that we can truly live. The spirit of God is not extinct from the church, of course not. It is here amongst us, but perhaps we are sometimes too timid, too doubtful, too complacent, too worldly to let that spirit truly rule our lives. The church is in need of revival. Our breath sometimes seems so feeble, so faltering. We need more oxygen in our lungs. Ezekiel was told that we should look forward with confidence to the years ahead. God will have great things in mind for us. He brought the Israelites back from Babylon and thus forming the community into which Christ was born. He did great things for the church. When it survived the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, reforming it and bringing it new birth. If we'll let him bring us together and breathe new life into us, then surely God can do, there's nothing that God cannot do for us. Our next hymn is going to be, if you like, a prayer. Perhaps we can sing it as a prayer. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. So may it be.